Breakfast. Now, even more Radio Breakfast with Tom, Lou and Jack.
Hi, Tom here from More Radio Breakfast. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for finding our podcast. These are the highlights from the last 7 days, the moments in the show that made us laugh. So enjoy. And don't forget to join us each and every weekday morning from 6.
Tom, Lou and Jack. The best bits. Even more Radio Breakfast. More
Radio. Olivia Colman is apparently set to release her debut, wait for it, classical album.
Well, what does she play? Is she a cellist? Is she a tuba player?
Well, I can't find any information on this, whether it's opera, whether it's her with like a viola, I don't know.
I dreamed a dream in time gone by.
Not too operatic, that one. But
thanks, mate.
I wonder whether it's her choosing her favourites, maybe, for a compilation album.
Oh.
Well, that would be a bit tenuous.
A
bit of a letdown. Maybe she's all right with the old flute.
I don't mind a bit of classical every now and then.
Yeah.
I'm having a stressful day, you know what I mean? Put some classical music on in the car and just chill out. You know what I mean? A little bit of Vivaldi, smashing it.
Oh, I like Einaudi.
Yeah, I like Cock.
Hmm? Sorry?
Isn't he one of the big...
I don't know who you are.
Isn't he one of the big...
How are you spelling
composers?
That?
Composers? K-O-C-H. Isn't he one of them?
Right, we should quickly clear this up now.
Koch. Let's go Koch.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
Oh, sorry. I must
definitely not.
You've really... Hang on a minute, here we go. Erland van Koch, yeah. Born in Stockholm,
Koch
was a Swedish composer.
Well
he wrote
done.
Symphonies, ballets,
well
and opera, and other compositions. I knew I'd heard something by him.
So van Koch.
Yeah, well, yeah, but you don't say... look, that's who I like, okay? Him, Vivaldi, and Mozart.
I think what Lou and I would just like to say is next time you have a statement with similar to this, maybe don't pronounce it with such ferocity.
No, that's just the way I talk, okay? Look, the guy did some good music. You obviously haven't heard the ballet overture for large orchestra, which I'm looking at on his Wikipedia page.
Yeah.
Well done, Erland. More radio.
Let's talk about this, because ITV have released a little statement here saying they'll be filming across Sussex over the next couple of months.
Ooh.
As they're starting filming on this new 2-episode feature-length drama on Roy Grace, which is an adaptation of
Peter
James novels. Yeah.
Ah.
So it's a detective series. They've already been filming last week at the Smuggler's Rest in Telsham Cliffs, which used to be the Badger's Watch.
That's right, yeah.
So,
yeah,
they're going to be in Brightonshaw and Peacehaven and various other locations around the city.
That's exciting.
Yeah, he's a Sussex treasure, is Peter James. Follows me on Twitter, you know.
Oh, does he?
Yeah,
oh.
Lovely fella. And he lives just down the road. Peter, are you stalking me? those novels are huge.
Yeah.
They're really, really big. So, that'll be great. I'll watch that.
Why don't we go down and try and get in it?
Yeah,
oh, my
we could
God.
Be extras.
Peter, if you're listening, I can easily do bank robber, something like that. No problem at all. Or like bouncer.
If you were to star in your own sort of big Sunday night ITV drama series.
Yeah.
What is your genre? Are you going crime, detective?
Crime, stroke, erotic thriller. And I'll play like a crooked cop. That's what I'd be.
Crime, stroke, erotic thriller, crooked cop.
Yeah, and I'd be known as DCI Fingers. That'd be my name. And then when I take backhanders, like off of criminals, I've got a phrase. So like a criminal will say, look, it's 50 grand if you can make this go away. I'll have some of that. That'd be my phrase. Right.
When people see you in the street, they go, Jack, I'll have some of that.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah, I want to do it.
He's got this too planned out.
He has. He really has, hasn't he? DCI Fingers.
Yeah.
I mean, that's horrible.
I'll have some of that.
Lou, I think you and I would suit a period drama.
That's what I was going to suggest, yeah.
We'd be good in that.
You can play my father.
What just happened there?
Go on, Lou Nash.
What just happened there?
You are really old.
Even more Radio Breakfast with Tom, Lou and Jack.
I'll do the things that no one else would do.
Ella Henderson, that is. It's lovely. Take care of you. On Friday mornings, a big breakfast show here at More Radio. You're with Tom, Lou and Jack. Hope you're looking forward to the weekend.
We just played David Attenborough's first video post on Instagram. You know what? I felt quite emotional afterwards.
Oh, he's amazing. The bloke's
amazing. He is amazing. And we all need to listen to him. He's like the granddad of, I was going to say the UK, but actually the world.
But he's been like a constant through all our lives.
Yeah.
We've grown up with him. Like, it's like the Queen. I mean, he's the only person I could put him on a pedestal with.
Oh, I know. And he's 94 years old. And the reason I think I feel quite emotional about that little speech you just gave, I just want you to play a little recap of it, Tom.
Yeah, I think I know the bit you mean. So towards the end, he says this.
Over the next few weeks, I'll be recording messages to explain what the problems are and how we can deal with them.
I mean, he's 94 years old. Let's face it, he's not going to be around forever. Hopefully he's got years left, but who knows? Yeah. He might not. And I felt like that was almost him recording his will and putting it on Instagram. So it's there for all of us. He's teaching us what we need to do so we can save this planet once he's gone.
Yeah, the gift that he has is he's incredibly sincere.
Yeah.
And when you listen to him, you know there's no lie there. He completely believes in his message and he completely wants the best thing for the planet. He is an amazing, amazing man.
I feel a bit embarrassed that we've cocked it up. Excuse the language, but you know, like the environment and climate
and
change.
Just keep
he's looking at us
worse,
going,
what are you doing? I feel bad. He's the sort of bloke. This is the best. You just don't want to let him down.
No.
Have I told you when I met him that time?
No, come on.
I think I have. But today, I'd normally mock you, but today I feel kind of jealous and proud of you.
I met him. We had a really lovely chat.
Hang on. You were in the loos, weren't you?
Doesn't matter where we were.
You were though.
I felt we bonded.
Over a urinal.
Lou, why are you picking on the details?
But I just remember the story.
Tom, it's not the time or the place, okay? He mocked you.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
No, he didn't.
Let's move on. And here, in this toilet cubicle, we find a man with really not much to shout about.
Even more Radio Breakfast with Tom, Lou and Jack. The best bits.
Let's talk about marriage. Let's talk about love.
Love and marriage. Love and marriage.
Lou's getting married July 31st next year.
24th, but sure. Okay,
whatever. It's because I haven't been invited, so I'm not bothered.
Can't come.
Listen, I'm working on that. I want to talk about that wonderful moment, the first dance. It's a traditional moment, isn't it? Everyone gathers around the dance floor and you worry about it leading up to the big day with your other half. You're like, what are we going to choose? What song is it going to be? And you keep the song secret. What do you go for, Jack?
Me and Sally Ann, our first dance was God Only Knows by the Beach Boys.
God Only Knows.
Oh, that's nice.
It's still our song to this day.
Lou, have you worked out what you're going to have your first dance?
No, it's really hard.
What was yours, Tommy?
A love song by an artist called Gavin DeGraw.
Oh, God, he is awful.
No, I quite like
Cheers,
him.
Mate. It was our first date. We went to see him in concert. It was lovely.
I thought you were just...
That's good, because you've got a reason for
exactly.
that.
Exactly, yeah. So, listen, first dances, as I was saying, they're the most memorable part of a wedding, but they don't all lead to happily ever after. 90,000 people got divorced last year in the UK. It's a lot.
Blimey, that is a lot.
And it's going to be more this year. Let's face it, lockdown has not been kind.
So, is there a connection between divorce rates and a couple's first dance song? This is what researchers have looked into.
Sounds a little tenuous.
Well, what do you want for... I've got the song here with the highest chance of leading to a happy marriage.
Well, okay? is that I Hate You So Much Right Now by Kelly's song, whatever that was called?
No, this is Happy Marriage.
This is the happy one, first of all, right? The song with the highest chance of leading to a long and happy marriage is this.
Can you feel the love tonight?
It's a good one.
What a tune.
It's a good song, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, of course, Elton John, Can You Feel the Love Tonight? 77% of people that had that as their first dance remained happy.
For this wild-eyed wanderer.
Okay, let's get to the bad stuff. The most divorceable song, the track that has the most breakups attached to it.
I'm really excited to it.
It's One Direction.
And all these little things, I won't let these little things slip out of my mind. Oh, Tom knows all the words.
It's a lovely song.
It's true, it's you, it's you, they add up to...
Well, this was written by Ed Sheeran.
That's correct.
It's an Ed Sheeran song. Listen, I'm not going to... If you're going to have One Direction as your first dance at your wedding, then frankly, you deserve to get divorced.
Yeah.
That's terrible behaviour, Lulu.
That's not kind. Come on.
Lou, it looks like it's got to be Elton John for you. Actually, I have here, just to finish off, the most popular first dance song of all time.
Oh, yeah?
What do you reckon that
is? 10% of couples choose this, and it's got a 50-50 success rate. What do you reckon?
I'm going to go for Your Song by Elton John.
Okay.
Or is it some Ed Sheeran?
I hope it isn't that Goo Goo Dolls song.
What?
Here we go.
Why?
Yes.
Only fools rush in.
What a voice this bloke's got.
But I can't help falling in love with.
Anybody join us? Come and join us.
Nan.
Come on, Nan.
Even more Radio Breakfast with Tom, Lou and Jack.
Now, you might have heard about this. It's been cropping up in the news every now and again. There's a golf course in Brighton that they've been talking about rewilding and basically sort of letting it go back to nature, which I think has probably become more of a popular idea post-lockdown. We've all been craving the outside space, haven't we?
Is this Waterhole?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. I went for a walk along Waterhole golf course a little while ago with my good friend Gary. And good morning to you, sir. Nice walk.
And how was it? Lovely.
It was fun. Although there was one bloke there hitting golf balls. Just smashing golf balls. And it's like when we were right near him. It was very odd.
Well, you're walking on a golf course.
Well,
no,
the golf course was shut.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that's the thing. They want to get rid of it being a golf course and make it into almost like a kind of a nature reserve, I suppose.
I thought you meant they wanted to like make it harder and have wild golf going on.
Oh, what, some lions on there, some wildebeest.
Like crazy golf.
So they're shutting it and letting it grow over.
Yeah,
right,
kind of. And they want to encourage wildlife back. So they've been looking at like the Nepp Estate, which is near Horsham. And that's kind of had a really successful restoration in terms of animals. So they've got storks that have been spotted nesting there this year. They've got the purple emperor butterfly.
Oh, what a butterfly that is.
And some turtle doves, which, you know, all sounds lovely.
Was there two of them turtle doves? Hey.
Two turtle doves. Yeah, very good.
It's not quite Christmas. Yeah. Anyway, those all sound great. Storks, butterflies, doves, all good. The examples they've given for the golf course, this is crazy. They would like pine marten and wild cats.
Wild cats?
Both pretty vicious. Wait, though, it gets worse.
What's a wild marten?
No, pine marten.
What's a pine marten?
It's like a wild cat, but it's like, yeah, quite vicious.
Oh, okay.
They say, yeah, it could include pine marten, wild cats, to straight tusk elephants,
yes,
hippopotamus, and wolves.
Get him up there on the downs.
When was the last time you saw a hippo in the wild just wandering over there?
It's actually the right kind of habitat for them up there.
You can't have a hippopotamus. That's right off the A27. You can't have a hippopotamus walking around there. How are you going to get away with that? They kill people. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
Especially if someone forgets that the golf course is not in operation. So here he is on the 8th here. He's got a putt for a birdie. Wow!
Oh, it's a shame. That's a shame. It was so close.
Even more Radio Breakfast with Tom, Lou and Jack. The best bits.
Lou, would you take us through the drama of what happened to you before going on air today?
Well, okay, a lot of people will have been affected by the same problem as here at More Radio, because you might have heard on the news there's been a huge water mains burst in mid-Sussex, which has affected Burgess Hill, lots of surrounding towns and villages as well, like thousands of households, schools are shut, that kind of thing. Thankfully, the water's now back on.
Yeah.
Oh, is it back on?
Nightmare. So when we could hear, before you got here, what's that? It stopped raining. Sound like the rain on the corrugated iron roof. I said, Lou, no, something's happening. Upstairs, now.
Well, the first thing we did when we got in was try the water, and it was a bit dodgy, wasn't it?
Exactly. It wasn't working. I said, Lou, something's going on. I can hear some noise from upstairs. Lou, upstairs, now.
So dramatic.
It was dramatic.
It was pretty dramatic, Tommy. It's not exaggerating.
So upstairs we have a kitchen and some more offices, office space.
And here, some Poindexter, where they'd been checking the water, had left it on full whack. And it was pouring out of the sink onto the floor, and water was coming through the ceiling. I said, Lou, get me a mop now.
And I did. I got my mop.
Yeah, and then I mopped it up. I said, Lou, we need wipes. We need some sort of tea towel. Get one for me now. This ceiling's going down, Lou. This ceiling's going to fall through, Lou. Do it now, for the love of God.
Okay.
He was really quite bossy.
So the headline here is that someone in the office left the tap on.
Yeah, they did.
No, Tom, it's not just a tap. It's one of those water, you know, those water heater ones when you've not got a hot water tap.
Like an electric box.
And they spray.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't just going down into the sink.
No.
It was going across the whole room. Everything's so wet.
Okay, guys, crying everywhere.
You've not seen it, Tom. You don't understand.
I said, yeah, you weren't here. You didn't see it.
Calm.
I said to Lou, there aren't enough tea towels in the world. Find anything to mop up this water. Do it now. And eventually we stopped it. And Lucy, my God, you were so amazing there. You really took charge. Kiss me, please. I said, Lou, no, I can't.
Even more Radio Breakfast with Tom, Lou and Jack.
Right, this is a little bit scary. If you have got a lot of money, I'm looking at you, Jeff Bezos, you can practically live forever. Here are some of the technologies that are being worked on at the moment that people who have got crazy amounts of cash can invest in, and therefore make themselves live possibly for an extra 10 years, possibly literally forever.
Oh, wow.
So the first one, which is terrifying and reminds me of Dracula, is that you can have your blood replaced with younger blood.
What, like a sort of... No, that doesn't make sense, that's what I was about to say. Sorry, it's still fairly early. How does that work?
So they just swap out your blood for a younger person's blood.
And therefore the qualities of the blood keep your body younger.
I'm not having that. Your organs still get old. Your heart gets old.
Well, yeah.
Your brain gets old.
Apparently they've done some trials on mice and it's worked quite well, but it's yet to work on humans. So there's still you know, progress to be made there.
I want to know who this person was and what kind of life they've... Have they ever had a cigarette? I mean, no, I don't want it.
Yeah, no, I'm not happy about that. And poor mice as well.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, there is that. There's also computer brains. You can sort of download your brain onto a chip and keep it for later.
Yeah, but that's not going to help your cardiovascular fitness, is it?
No, it's not.
No, but how nice for your grandchildren to sit down and go, right, we're going to look at Grandad Jack's brain.
You're having a laugh.
Plug that into the telly.
I'm not having them see that.
Scarred for life.
Yeah, they'll plug it into the TV. Is this Basic Instinct?
And then the other one is, which we've all heard about before, the freezing thing.
Yeah, no, I'm up for that.
Are you?
Yeah, because I like being cold in bed.
Right. Okay.
It was cold when I got into bed last night. I quite liked it.
One word of warning, though. Apparently, one of these companies has gone bust, which means their residents have
gone bust as well.
Thawed.
Well, yeah, you know what you do there. If it goes bust, you just hope that someone knows you, text a mate, and they take you down the beach. Just lay you on a towel, thaw you out.
Well, no, they have. These people have just thawed out, and now they're just like...
Right. So the idea here is that you could pay to cryo-freeze yourself, and then they'll bring you back to life later on down the line.
Yeah, no one's actually been defrosted yet successfully. Well, so bear that one in mind, too.
But when do you cryo... What age? Like, now at 41's a good age, because in 2050 or 2150, I'll be 41 when they unfreeze me. Good. I've still got prime of life.
Bit of a gamble, though, isn't it?
But do you freeze yourself just before you die?
I don't know. I like the fact that Lou said no one's been defrosted yet. So when someone's coming out of cryogenic freezing, do they do it like they do with prawns and put them in a bowl of tepid water?
Even more Radio Breakfast with Tom, Lou and Jack. The best bits.
I do love a Scottish Catholic college in Spain. They're my favourite type of colleges.
It makes no sense.
It doesn't.
This is a story this morning about a very rare and unknown Shakespeare play that has been found in the library of a Scottish Catholic college in Spain. Let's ignore that part.
Okay.
I don't think it's that important to the story. It's found in Spain in a library.
Okay, cool.
Okay. So everyone in the literary world is buzzing about this. People have heard about this play. It's called The Two Noble Kinsmen, but no one's really ever seen it.
The Two Noble Kinsmen?
Apparently it's Shakespeare's last play. They've got a copy and it's going to be, you know, everyone's saying, oh my God, this is going to be amazing to put on, and the West End are buzzing and Broadway are thinking, let's do Shakespeare again. And it's basically put the spotlight back on Shakespeare, the new show, The Two Noble Kinsmen.
I've never heard of it. Like, we didn't do that one at school. Romeo and Juliet, Measure for Measure.
Yeah, it's little known, Lou, which is why everyone's excited about it. I can't tell you what the plot is.
Well, look.
I don't know anything about it.
Fortunately, as you know, and long-time listeners to me on the radio know, I know pretty much everyone in the world, and I can give you a little bit more insight on this play, because I've got a mate that I've known for years and years and years that is actually a teacher at that Catholic college in Spain.
The Scottish Catholic college.
Oh, so you can, later you can probably explain that as well.
Yeah. Well, yeah, no, it's no problem at all. He's been a great mate forever.
Right.
His name's Enrique Taggart, and he works there, and he saw the play, and I can tell you essentially the basic plot of the play.
Okay.
Right.
And what it's about is it's about this guy and his best mate, and the guy works as a janitor at like a really posh university. But at night, when everyone goes home, he solves all the maths problems on the board. And then he becomes like this maths genius. And his mate is saying, you've got to use this gift. And he says, no, I can't. I want to stay in my roots and stuff like that. But he's actually a maths genius. That's what the play's about.
Jack.
Yes, mate.
Well, that's Good Will Hunting, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, that's Matt Damon and...
I got confused.
The late Robin
Williams. Sorry.
This is the Shakespeare show, The Two Noble Kinsmen.
The Two Noble Kinsmen. Sorry, I thought you said something else. What this one is about, because this is one that Enrique Taggart told me about, is it's about a boy and he's got these toys at night, and him and the toys are actually the kinsmen. But when he's not about, the toys come to life.
Right.
And they have these adventures of their own. Like, one of them's like, what is from the Wild West, and the other one's from space.
Right.
And like,
yeah,
they've got like a pet pig and a
there's
like,
an alien, isn't like there?
That's right, an alien.
That, yeah, it's Toy Story.
Yeah. Sorry?
Toy Story.
Yeah. I don't know if that's Shakespeare.
Right. That's the wrong one then.
Yeah.
That's the wrong one as well. This one is about a race car that can talk.
Okay, are you sure your mate teaches Shakespeare and not film studies?
He destroys a road in this town.
Okay, mate.
And he wants to get back to win this cup.
Just gonna.
And all of his mates him... say to him.
That's better, isn't it?
Yeah, though? It's better. Okay. Yeah. So do we actually know what it's about?
No idea, mate. It's called right. The Two Noble Kinsmen.
Sounds great.
Sounds good, isn't it?
You can't go and compete in that race to win the Piston Cup.
For
God's
sake.
Even more Radio Breakfast with Tom, Lou and Jack. The best bits.
We just mentioned Jeff the puppy moments ago. This is Jack's new puppy that's been with you, what, a week now?
Be a week tomorrow, yeah.
Week tomorrow. So we thought it's time on the show for an update. Let's talk
about Jeff. Baby. Let's talk about Jeff. And me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things. Jeff. Maybe let's talk about Jeff. Let's talk about Jeff. Yeah.
It's time for Jeff the puppy update. We're adults. I don't know what we're doing.
This is our job.
This is our job. Just generally, as a synopsis for the week, you're happy. Everything's gone well.
Yeah, I think it's gone much better than we thought it'd be. I mean, yeah, it's funny when you get a puppy because obviously we've got the cats. There's lots of scaremongering. Oh, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? And look, it's early days, but this week, yeah, as a whole, he's been superb, the little man.
Lou and I have some quick fire questions on week one for Jeff the puppy.
Okay.
Lou, over to you. Let's go.
Okay, first up, what's the most expensive thing he's chewed?
He's taken quite a liking to a big plant that we have in the lounge.
Ah.
Last night I had to leave him alone for about 5 minutes while I busted kids' teeth, and when I came back it was on the floor.
Oh, God.
He was told off.
My question is, has he yet attacked the cats?
No. The dog and the cats have seen each other. Two of the cats are not non-fussed with him. However, Chase and Jeff yesterday had their first ever nose-to-nose kissy-wissy.
Oh, in a good way.
In a good way. They had a kissy. And then Chase laid on the floor and opened up and said, look how attractive I am.
Just like his dad.
Next up, have you managed to figure out how to use the puppy carrier thing and all the paraphernalia?
I haven't used the puppy carrier thing. My wife, Sally Ann, has, and she enjoys having him in the puppy carrier. He is not so happy to be in there.
Next up, have there been a toilet incident inside? And if so, what has been the worst incident?
No, there have been no toilet incidents inside. Mm. He's doing all his wee's and poos in the garden, except when he hasn't seen either me or Sal or the kids for a while, and he runs to us and lets a little leakage out on the floor.
Oh.
Excited wee-wee. But we are a wooden floored house.
Gets overexcited. Just again, like his dad.
Just like his dad, yeah.
He's rubbing off on you.
Have you had an accidental puppy snog yet? You know, when you're like going for a little just... Yeah, and right. Then he goes... Oh.
No, he hasn't had his tongue in my mouth yet, although his tongue has enjoyed some time in my left ear.
Oh, nice.
My final question is, has he yet drawn blood with his puppy teeth?
He hasn't drawn blood with his puppy teeth yet, because we're very good with that. Thank you. However, they are like hypodermic needles. Lord above, they're sharp.
All right. So generally, a good first week, right?
He's a very good boy, and he's very excited to meet you both very soon.
I can't wait to meet him either. Can't wait. And I hope he does let a little bit of pee-pee out when he meets me, because he's excited.
Yeah, but then you've got to clear it up.
No, I'll be at Jack's house. It's all fine.
No, you will clear it up.
Okay.
If he does do an excited wee-wee leak on you, I mean, that is a real compliment, let me tell you.
I'm bringing spare trousers when I come round yours.
And some wet wipes.
I hope one of you two is the first person who draws blood on. That really would make my day.
Oh, I see.
The best bits from Tom, Lou and Jack. More.